You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
I want you to know that you are in for such a treat today. We have three couples in our church that have a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and they are so much fun. We are going to be having our family panel today, so I want to make sure you guys are engaging, leaning in, get your notepads out. There's going to be so much wisdom and fun to be had. So let's welcome up Mike and Lynette Clark, Tessa and Charles Fuller, and Eric and Lisa Raftery, and my handsome husband, Pastor John.
Come on, we have some of the greatest couples in our church ready to pour into you today. So this is the kind of message that you're going to want to get out your pen and paper and iPad or whatever you do to take notes, because they are just dropping gold nugget after nugget after nugget. At least probably 10 to 15 tweetable quotes will be dropped today as well. So you can be seated. Bump your neighbor and say, this is good. We don't want to just be all spiritual every week, and we want to give you practical tips and that we can apply to our lives today, right now. And so we're going to talk about the modern family and what the modern family should look like. But before we start, would you guys just introduce yourselves very quickly? Thank you.
I'm Mike Clark, and this is my wife, Lynette. We've been married for 27 years. We have 6 children, 15 grandkids, and 1 on the way.
Wow. This is I'm Eric Raftery. This is my wife, Lisa. In June, we'll be married 20 years, so pumped about that. We have 4 children. We have 2 teenagers, 2 preteens, and a puppy, so we're pretty busy.
Hi there. We're Charles and Tessa Fuller. We just celebrated 20 years of marriage, February 15th. And we've got 2 amazing just angels from heaven, Lexi, who's 12, and Skyla, who's 10, and the best is yet to come.
Now, that is 67 years of marriage experience, which I stated in the first service, but then I forgot I was married. So that's 80 years, people, 80 years. You guys are getting 13 more years of experience at this service than they did at the last one. But we're going to get into it. So much gold about to be had. So first question, in the busy life that we live in, I mean, most of the families that I know, we have 2 working parents. How do you guys find time, or how do you make time? What's the strategy that you use to get with your families? Fullers, can you guys start?
You said strategy, and I think that's one of the best words for it, because if you are not intentional with your time, how many of you know it's just gone, right? So we have calendar meetings. We sit down. We have this big calendar in the house. I had to get over the fact that it wasn't nice looking up on the wall. But it works, because in that calendar are our priorities in our family. And one of our priorities is this marriage, because if this doesn't work, our family's not going to work. So our date nights are in there on the calendar. And so are like dates that Daddy has with the girls. On the 7th is Skyla's birthday. So every month she gets a date on the 7th. On the 30th is our oldest daughter's birthday. So every date on the 30th comes around every month, she gets a date, then they also know what to expect when they look at that calendar. So I think you have to be intentional with your time. You also can find little pockets of things. You know, we're busy just like all of you. And like, for instance, on Sunday, you know, we're sometimes here a lot of times during the day and kids are in different places. So on Sunday night, we connect and they know that if we're home, we make grilled cheese sandwiches and pickles. That's a weird combination, but we do. And like, they know that that's our time, you know? So just find those little pockets of time, be intentional and be consistent.
Great, Lisa. Yeah,
and can I just add too, that so much of your time as parents, you're training, you're mentoring, you're correcting. So make sure you make time for some fun. Make sure you play Uno. Make sure that you're building. I know I really love Dr. Dobson. He has so many good things to help here, so many great resources. And he always says, right, rules without relationship equals rebellion. But if you have relationship, then you've put so many deposits in. When you have to take a withdrawal, it works much better. So make sure you're putting time to build relationship. And it's not that you're on a friend level. You're still their mentor. You're still their parent. But you can still enjoy each other and have a fun family life.
Yeah. Very good. Lynette, do you want to?
And I think, too, I'm going to kind of go there this morning. Also, when you're raising children, when they get up old enough to train them that mommy and daddy's bedroom is their space, and to train your children that when mommy and daddy are in there, you don't just come bursting through the door. Unless somebody has lost an arm or a leg and is bleeding out, that you don't come in there and disturb mommy and daddy when they're behind closed doors. You give them their space.
That's really good. Really good. One of the things that I love about Mike Lynette that Becky and I also try to do is, because we're such busy people and everybody's busy, but you still want to have a social life with friends and that sort of thing. One of the things that we try to do, and every time we've ever been to dinner with the Clarks, they always beat us to the restaurant because they spend, you know, 30, 45, perhaps an hour before their meeting with their friends to just hang out with one another. So you can almost like combine a night out with your friends to have a date night with your spouse if things just get a little bit too crazy. So I love that. Okay, so we got to be intentional about spending time with our family. We got to have fun. So let's talk about discipline, because I think as parents, we've all been brought up in different ways, and you know, we have different models. So I want to hear from you guys, from a discipline standpoint, what are some of the things that you guys have done from maybe the time when the kids are little now all the way up to, you know, however old your kids are, Clarks?
Well, since we have a blended family, we have six kids, and so through trial and error, we've had to take in each one of these children and find out what exactly works for them, because not every child is going to react or respond the same way. And where you can be building them up at the same time, you need to be able to know exactly what it is. And we've had cases to where I disciplined a child and it was totally the wrong thing to do. But I learned from it. I apologized to the kid, and then we figured out this is what the child, you know, responds to. Sometimes it's like taking a privilege away, getting them out of an activity. Sometimes it's a timeout. You know, sometimes it's they have to get a spanking, you know. And then the other one, I got kids all I had to do was look at. And they would respond. So you really have to, it's really hard to do, but you need to find out what it is that makes that child tick. Had a kid that was a great baseball player. And I thought, you know, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing in school. And so I said, okay, if you don't straighten out in school, I'm going to take your baseball privileges away from you. And this kid was a baller. And he goes, okay. I went, oh, I wrecked. Back up. Well, he needed the spanking.
What do you guys think, Lisa and Eric?
So how many of you have ever driven a mountain road? You ever driven on a mountain road, the windy ones, right? How many love that there's a guardrail there? Okay. Even though you really don't think you're going to go over the edge, that guardrail just gives you security and safety. And you have to know that boundaries for your child or your children, it's like that guardrail for them. It just makes them feel better and safer as they're growing and they're learning. And so as parents, we're always trying to set boundaries for them and let them know that, you know, we love you. We are here for you. Really, you know, the Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord, right? The fruit of the womb is his reward. And we've been given these precious kids in our care. And really, the whole reason that we're training them and loving them and enjoying them is eventually so they can grow up and be released, right? So we want them to be growing and developing. So the boundaries that you're putting there are going to change during seasons. And you're always communicating to your child, we want to give you as much freedom as we can. We want you to have freedom in life, but we're going to make sure you can handle the freedom before we expand it and give you a little bit more. So you have to understand that, for example, if you have a toddler and you really don't care what cup they drink out of, you don't care what they wear on a Monday and all that. So if you're letting that toddler make all their choices, like, go ahead, pick your cup, go ahead, pick your clothes, go ahead, do this, that's fine. But they don't have the maturity to say, oh, but when it comes to Sunday morning dress, I should yield to my mother. You know, they're toddlers, right? So if you haven't had any boundaries, then they don't understand why now it's no. Why is it yes, 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 now it's no, and then you're going to have a little bit of problems there. So what we're trying to do is say, okay, here's a red cup, blue cup, orange cup. Go ahead, you can pick. So what we're doing is we're setting the boundaries. We're the parent. We're giving parameters, but then you have freedom within the boundaries. And that's just a simple example, but you can put three outfits on the bed and say, okay, tomorrow's Sunday morning. You can pick your outfit. But they still know that mom and dad are in control, and they still know there's boundaries. And then, of course, you just adjust that as they get older and give them those types of freedoms.
I love that. And Becky and I sometimes let our four-year-old choose what she can wear. And that's really fun, too, if you want to just have fun and not have, like, the choices. You never know what she's going to put on. But I agree with you, Lisa. Tessa, what do you guys think?
Us mommies really love it when they get to pick everything that they wear. And then you put it on Instagram. It's fun. I think that we need to look at discipline like... Lisa said it's so good. They're going to spend more time as adults than they are as kids, right? So it's almost like a sculptor that's looking at a piece of clay. He knows what he wants the end result to be before he even gets started. So that's what discipline is about. You know, you definitely need the negative side of discipline as far as correction of discipline. You also need the positive side of discipline, because discipline is from the word disciple. It means to train. It doesn't actually mean to punish. It means to train. Training sometimes means the correcting behavior. It also means the positive behavior. So make it a point to try to catch your kids doing the right thing, because when you can catch them doing the right thing, then you get to say, oh my gosh, the way you talked to your sister right there was amazing. The way you just shared that toy without having to be asked, I'm so proud of you. Instead of being like, instead of having to, again, always be nagging them, you know, that is not how you do things. So instead of coming from the negative, try to come to the positive, because you're looking at the heart. Proverbs tells us that out of the heart, all of life comes, right? So you're disciplining the heart more than you're disciplining the outward behavior. If you can get what's inside the heart, if you can start putting self-control inside the heart now when they're a toddler, what's that going to look like when they're a teenager and they really need that self-control, right? And the same thing with the selfishness. Okay, he wants the
No, I just have to honor her, because she set the tone early. Growing kids God's way is what we follow, so she resourced herself. But here's the beauty I want to leave all of you. All of you that have a young family, by investing early, being purposeful, one of the keys we learned was childishness and defiance. At a certain age, they're just childish behavior. That's a lot less discipline. That's really no discipline almost. You're just correcting in another way. But once they know a difference, and as parents, you'll know when that point is, that's where the punishment comes in. But here's what I wanted to leave you. By us investing early, 4, 5, 6 years, their most impressionable years, we almost, it's like a miracle, we almost don't even have to discipline now that we've got preteens.
Because we did it so much at the beginning.
Yes.
One more thing, Charles, before you give away the mic, or Tessa, you can answer this as well. Part of, I think, discipline, and Lisa touched on it, is boundaries or expectations. I know one of the things that you guys do really well is you kind of set a vision for your family. Tell us about that, because without a vision, the people perish, right? So they cast off restraint. So talk
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, for those of you business people, you're in boardrooms, you're casting the vision for your company, the mission, what's your role in the company. Why don't you apply that to your family? It's like, what we found is like, you know, why not be that intentional of your family? So we sat down as a family, Tessa and I, and we said, you know, what does the Fuller name represent in this world? What does it stand for? What's our family vision statement? What's our mission that's going to help us execute that? And then we bring the girls in either quarterly or at least every 6 months, and we have a family meeting. And we get the whiteboard out. We list it up there. And just we do a lot of things. I'll just leave you one that I think is so powerful. We each rate each other as to how well we're doing, on a scale of 1 to 10. And Mommy and I have got an 8 a couple times, so we're like, dang it, we want to be perfect 10.
I went up this year, though. I went up one ring.
That's right. She did go up. So, but anyway, involve your kids in your life. And, like, for those of you that follow sports team, you know, if you're a Raider fan, Charger, whatever, it's like so many people wear that name on the back. Well, your kids are wearing your name on their back. And if they're not reflecting what the values, the character, the integrity that your name represents, then you sow into that and have those meetings.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so those are some good nuggets right there. When it comes to discipline, Mike and Lynette, sometimes it all doesn't always go our way. So sometimes our kids grow up and they don't kind of turn out the way we thought, or maybe they're still young and we realize maybe we didn't do a very good job in this situation or this situation. What do you guys do if your kids aren't behaving the way you thought they would or should? How do you handle that?
Being from a blended family, and it's not just a blended family, but there was brokenness in there, and there was also not only with us as adults, but with our children. I have my oldest son, his youngest daughter have been in and out of prison through the prison system. So we know what that is, literally, to be broken like that. We had to, at that point, start practicing. At that point, I didn't even know what tough love meant. We had to start learning about tough love because we had four other children in the home that needed to be cared for. And when you have someone that's out doing the drugs and all this stuff, they're like a funnel and they will pull everything down. You know, they're just grasping, and we could not let them take the rest of the family out. So we had to have some very strict boundaries. We did not love these two any less. We any more than Christ loves us when we bring sin into our lives. We love them, but we let them know that there were boundaries and that if they could not live the way that everybody else lived and according to the law, then you're exactly where you need to be, in prison. So they went in and out a couple times. They did a couple tours. But they learned each time. And now my oldest son, I have seen him come to Christ. I have seen him get baptized. He now works for Michael, and he's a very faithful employee, but he's not serving God. So he has, you know, if you're not moving forward, you start sliding backwards. So he's not where he needs to be with God. But the Bible says that to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I know there will come a day, as sure as I'm sitting here, that he will serve God with his whole heart.
I wanted to add to it, even with my daughter being in prison most of her adult life, and you think that's hopelessness, and you wonder, where did you go wrong? What did you do? But God is always on the throne. And during that period where we thought, you know, we've done everything we know to do, God put her in a place to where she was not exposed to the world. She was exposed to some bad stuff in there. But she got in there, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit and was teaching a Bible study. So God can use you wherever you're at, in whatever circumstance it is.
Awesome. Incredible. So one kind of question off the back of that, how did you guys stay during the seasons when maybe your kids aren't behaving the way you thought? How do you stay tight and together and not let it affect you guys emotionally and tear you guys apart?
Christ has always been the center of everything. I can't imagine not having him at the center. So he's our focal point. So when things start going awry, we always know exactly where to look and recenter yourself, true north. And you can't go wrong whenever you do that.
So good. And I know it doesn't just mean when kids are older. I mean, I know families struggle with kids, you know, in their elementary school years, and they're kind of off the rocker, they're not behaving at school or whatever. And it's important for us to be able to stay strong together as couples, because if their life is in disarray in the school, they come home and their parents are in disarray. You know, that's kind of a double whammy. So we need to stay strong in those scenarios as well. All right, moving on. With the world bombarding us with so many non-biblical ideas, you know, from evolution to tolerance to sex to sexual identity, all of these different things our kids are hearing and learning, how do we ensure that they get the truth, you know, from you guys? Or how do we ensure they get the truth? Lisa, you want to start?
So as a parent, we have the opportunity to be our first source of information for our children and to set their understanding. And that really is our job. You know, innocent is good. We want our kids innocent, right? But naive isn't. And so we have to be very careful that we're not setting our kids up because we're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that, or oh, I don't want them to have to deal with that yet. And then the problem is that they're not necessarily set, they're going to be blindsided because we haven't set their understanding. Now, when you're setting your kids' understanding, you're always working with their age ability and what they can handle and their maturity level, but you can touch on topics. You don't have to go from A to Z. If you can maybe go from A to B, or you can go from A to F, or whatever the case is. But we want to be their first source of setting their understanding and telling them, listen, we love you. We're for you. Now, your dad and I, we've lived a long time. Some of us, really long time. And we have some wisdom that's going to help your life. And your peers, like they haven't lived any longer than you have. So we're here for you. We care about you. We've invested in you since the day you were born. And we're here if you have any questions. And you have to be very sensitive. When they're starting to ask questions, you need to be right there with answers, because you want to set their understanding so they have the worldview that you know is truth, and that they know they can come to you at any time, and you will answer them the best of your ability to what they can handle.
Can I add something to that real quick?
Sure.
You know, the great thing about being at C3 is that our entire family serves here. So not only are they getting this accountability from us, but my kids are like, Dad, Saturday morning I have a leaders meeting. And I'm like, Saturday morning, okay. Tuesday night I have to, you know, I have a connect group with, and that is so imperative as parents, because that's such a strong support, because it reiterates what you're saying. And they're being built as well. So I encourage you, if you have kids that are, I have kids that are serving that are 10 years old, and they have their own groups. It's so important. So I just want to encourage you. So C3 is reiterating what we're saying right here, and it's a strong front. So I just want to encourage you, get involved as a whole family. The rewards are amazing.
That's awesome. Charles and Tessa, you guys want to comment on that? Charles, you have a little tweetable nugget?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to say something first. Welcome to what normal life is like with us all the time. One of the things that I think Lisa taught me that was so great is that when your kids do come to you with a question, their first source of information or answer to that question is what they're going to base everything else from. That's going to be their truth. So you want it to be you. And just some really quick practical tips. When they do come to you and they have a question, be truthful. And you know what? If you don't know the answer yet, it's okay to say, you know what? That's a really good question. Let me pray about it and think about it. And then maybe tomorrow afternoon, you and I can sit down and we can talk about it. Okay? You want to be truthful, and you want to be the least uncomfortable as you can be when they come to you with a question, especially when it starts getting to those tween, how do babies, all of that stuff work, right? Because if they come to you with a question, practical, innocent, and you're immediately uncomfortable and you don't know what to say, like, it's okay to not know what to say, just have that answer. But they're gonna think, oh, note to self, this makes mom really uncomfortable. I better not ask her any more of these kind of questions.
Yeah, and just to reiterate in 1 minute, just, you know, be their Google. Because your early warning is when they ask you a question. And so Tessa and I found ourselves many times not knowing the answer, but we quickly resource ourselves. God's promise is an answer, topical, quick verse, kind of sets our mindset. Christian bookstore, she's almost a teenager for my 12-year-old. But what it taught me is that there are like 5 elements of her life that she's going through right now. And they don't naturally just come to dad with that. But it almost feels like I've got the secret weapon. So when we have our date nights, I can be purposeful, talking things that I know she's going through, and I can draw those things out of her. So you just want to be intentional, resource yourself, but you've got to have the answer.
Lynette. You had a comment from maybe a grandparent's perspective on kids and church and all that kind of stuff. What would you say about that?
As grandparents, it's so important to see your grandbabies in church. So I have, with having almost, we have 15 and a half, one in the oven, grandchildren, two of my little grandsons, 5 and 8, go to our North Campus. And they took some video and put it on Instagram, not even realizing it was our grandsons. Our grandbabies are learning from this high how to lay hands on their friends that are sick in their body and pray for healing. My grandsons are going to grow up not knowing anything different. The kids that come to them and are in the world, they'll have a perspective, well, yeah, we do that. Don't you do that? Then they're the weirdos, not my grandsons. So just to train them up young to where they don't know any difference is so important.
So good. Such good wisdom. And I know for like our family, I mean, I'm a sports guy. I grew up playing sports, and sometimes sports and church kind of conflict and converge on each other. And I'm a pastor, but I'm not like you can't do anything on Sundays kind of a person. We have 4 services. But when when sports starts taking the family out of church, then there's a problem because, like my wife says, you know, baseball's not going to save my children. Only Jesus can save my children. And so it can help keep them out of jail or out of trouble, you know, keep them busy and that sort of thing. But don't let the extracurricular activities keep you from the house of God. So it's so important. Okay, next question. What would you guys say to parents maybe who kids are growing up or you know, whatever age really, and they haven't felt like they've done a great job with their kids, and there's some tension there, maybe there's some awkwardness. Can they recover? Can they start over? What would you guys say to that? Lisa, Eric, why don't you guys start?
Well, man, it was 2000. We survived the whole debacle in 1999, Y2K. And I remember pulling up to the hospital, and I had this, like, epiphany. Oh, my gosh, they're giving me a real baby. I was like, do they know who I am, you know? I was like, this is crazy. And so I'm trying to figure out the car seat, and I just want to say as a parent, my dad told me this, and it was the best advice. He says, you're going to say things that you wish, man, why did I say that? You're going to do things that, oh, why did I do that? But if I can just give you some advice from me, I just show my kids that I'm a human and I make mistakes. And the most important thing that I can show my kids is consistency. That dad is really trying to be the best father. Because I'm going to make mistakes, kids, and that's normal. So it's okay. It's like baseball. You set a baseball example. Sometimes you just got to get up at the plate and just swing. Yeah. Don't stop swinging for the fences. Just try to be the best parent that you can be. And you're in a place like this learning things. Start applying those things. Yeah. Just because you made some mistakes, it's not over. Yeah. And I think sometimes in our human nature, we make a mistake and we're like, well, my kids, you know, I guess it's over. No, it's just beginning. You're starting at a great place, and it's right here, right now. So,
and just to piggyback, no matter what parent you are, you're going to miss it. You're going to have days when you were tired and you weren't consistent. So don't throw it all out just because you had a bad day or a bad week or a bad year, whatever it is. You just say, okay, wait. And a lot of us maybe weren't trained. Look, we've never seen it modeled. We didn't realize. And so that's why resources, ones through C3, ones that we might even share later, you know, resources are your friend. Because sometimes your parenting, things that you're dealing with are so in your face. That's all you can see and you're so frustrated. But you go to a class and you hear strategies or you read a resource and suddenly you're like raised above and you get this bigger picture and you realize, oh, all my hard work is worth it and what I'm doing. And then you get ideas and you think, I didn't even know I could make this change, or we're doing it wrong. Like, I didn't even know I've been parenting inefficiently. So just own it as the parent. I just encourage you, you know, when you realize I didn't know, or what, now I do, now I know. So you just bring the kids in and say, hey, we want you to know that dad and I are doing our very best and we've missed it. So it's not you, it's us. We own it. You know, we've been doing things not how we should be doing. We have this new revelation. So we love our family, and so we're going to make these changes. And you're going to see why we're making them. You're going to be so glad we did. But this is how things are changing, and this is how we're moving forward. But just own it as parents, and kids really do forgive. Kids are very forgiving when you're real. They know if you've blown it. You know, it's not a real shock to them if you have. So just be honest and real, and just love them enough to make changes.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, one of the things I want to share with you that you never get too old to learn. I learned from John and Becky. When Becky's having a bad day or something and the kids are, she's about to pull her hair out with the kids and John comes home from work and he's monitoring what's going on in the household and he sees that she's at her wit's end. He goes, hold it. I've got this. I'll take it from here. Yeah. Lord have mercy. I wish I'd have knew that, training my kids up.
Go ahead. Did you want to add to that? Oh, okay. Fuller, did you guys want to add to that as far as, yeah.
Well, I just want to encourage every one of you. You know, God does not make mistakes. He chose you to shepherd that child's heart.
That's right.
And so you partner with him. You can't go wrong. We all make mistakes. Me personally, I don't think I was ever more of a man than when I had time to reflect on something I've said to my daughter, a mistake I made. I had time to calm down. I had time to go into her room and just look her in the eyes and say, honey, I'm sorry. Dad made a mistake. I didn't mean to say that. Can you forgive me? And so I modeled how she can forgive people as she becomes an adult and friends. So you are a winner. You're a champion. God placed that perfect, fearfully, wonderfully made child into your lap, and just partner with him. You will be successful, guaranteed.
Really good. Really good. And just a, yeah, go ahead. Just a practical thing. I know that I do, and my wife does as well, try to take advantage of the car time, driving them to school or whatever, to ask them questions or to tell them you're sorry. I repent all the time to my kids in the car. So, you know, and then we do our declarations and all that kind of stuff. But take advantage of those times that you have with them. Okay, last question, and I'm going to give all of you guys an opportunity, so six of you, an opportunity to leave us with maybe your last piece of advice or encouragement that you're passionate about that's near to your heart.
Certainly the most important thing is to have a Christ-centered family. That's the most important thing. But the thing that sticks out to me most of all is to always allow your children to see you loving their mother or their mother loving you, because what you do is you're setting a standard for that child, that how a marriage looks. And if they're not seeing the love that they have for each other through Christ, then they don't have a standard. And when they get out in the world, you know, and I like to think of it positive, they see it a lot with us. Our kids, they see it a lot with us. And our kids go out and they're the peer pressure. They're not letting somebody run over them. They know what it's supposed to look like.
And Eric spoke about this earlier. The one thing that I have learned in my long-legged life is that to be consistent as a parent. We, even at our age now, we see the younger generation raising their children, and it may be yes today. They told them yes, they could do something, but then all of a sudden tomorrow's no. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't allow yourself to become so tired that, you know, no, you can't have that soda pop. But then the whole time that you're saying, no, you can't have that, the kid's reaching for it, and you're just tired of dealing with them. So you turn your head like you don't see that the kid's drinking. They're learning right there, and they will take that out into the world. So they need to learn that there's consequences, and they need to learn consistency, that when you're told no, it means no, and it's no today, and it's no tomorrow. So just to be consistent in the way you raised your children.
Great. Yeah. One of the things that I try to communicate to our kids is this, that my love for you will never change. Yeah. My love is not conditional, so it's not based on your performance. Now, there are times when I am more pleased with you than your room. Wow. I'm not very pleased with that. But when we communicate that to our kids from a young age, they always know that they can come to us for anything. There's nothing that my kids won't share with us. And that's what we've seen, because we're not reactionary. Now, there's times when our kids have told us stuff and we're just like, oh my gosh, you know? You want to total react, and then we go in the other room, we come back, we talk about it. So try to be that parent that allows your kid to tell you anything. And sometimes you're going to have to absorb it, and you're going to have to go in the other room and be like, what did I just hear? You know, and that's important. And that's what I just want to encourage you with. That's it.
Yeah. And let them fail in front of you, because you're there to help them. It's okay if they're making, you know, make sure you are able to navigate with them. But we were talking about resources. I don't know if we have some resources. And resources, like I said, right? When you're like this, they just give you fresh. Yeah. It's just a fresh win. And so many times I've read parenting books over and over again, and it's stuff I even know. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know better. I know to talk positive, not, you know, instead of don't, I should be saying talk kind. I mean, I know these strategies, but in life you forget, or you have different seasons and you're in a new one and you're not bridging it. So we just want to encourage you. Some really great resources are the On Becoming series. They have them for infants, On Becoming Baby Wise, and then they go up through, you know, they have potty advice, and then pre-toddler, they have child, but they just give you great strategies to kind of help you in your journey. We also have a few for, I'm a fan of anything Dobson. I feel like he is right on and so helpful, and he's also realistic. You know, he's not asking for what you can't deliver, so anything like Dare to Discipline or The Strong-Willed Child, I found them very helpful. And then if you have teen children, I really like this Artificial Maturity book. That's by Tim Elmore. It's just teaching your kids to become authentically mature. And not where they just look mature, but they really aren't. So that's a great resource. And then Counterintuitive, I really like Tyler Durden, and I think that he has a lot of strength. Like, for example, girls relate face-to-face, and men tend to like to relate side-to-side. So if you're telling your teenage boy, like, keep looking at me, look at me in the eyes, look at me in the eyes, it'd probably be better if you're just driving and you can talk about things. They'll respond. So just so many great helpful tips. I think I could communicate better with my teen from taking these resources. And then just to throw one more out is we've written a book series for young women called the Mr. Right series, and it's Waiting for Mr. Right, Meeting Mr. Right, and Marrying Mr. Right. And it's fiction. So if you're interested in that, just come down here and I'll talk to you about it. But it's giving you a platform to bring up subjects where you can talk about the characters' choices, you can talk about the characters' lives. And then there's a devotional that goes with it that has the scripture too. So that's great for young women. They need us. Our teens need us. You might feel like, well, they're finally teens. I'm not putting off the clothes. You know, I'm done. But the truth of the matter is they need you more than ever in these years. So resource yourself. And if you can, try to resource yourself before you're desperate. Because, but you know what? If you're desperate, resource yourself still. Okay. But, you know, as much as you can get ahead of it, it's helpful.
So good. I want to go to Amazon right now and order everything Lisa's just talked about. Do what you say. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Be consistent. And so that means, like Lynette already said, if you say something to them, you need to stick with it. But it also means, like, if you say something's your priority, then do it. If church is a priority in your life, then yes, I'm sorry, you're going to be picked up from your summer party early and you're going to come to church. Because that's how I was raised. And that stuff speaks volumes. So if you're together on what you want your family to look like and what you want your life to look like, they're watching you and they're watching every step you make. They watch when you fall, if you get up again. And they watch when you're mad at each other, how you respond. And they watch when somebody goes overboard, if you're going to correct them in front of the kids or you're going to have each other's back and be like, hey, that wasn't so great. So be accountable in your life with what you say to your kids and with how you live. They're watching.
Absolutely. Love it. What I want to leave you with is this. You know, I may not be a male model like Pastor John over here, but every man, you're a role model. And I've learned that more is caught by my children than taught. And so I'll never forget the time my daughter was young. She's like, Dad, who do you love more? And I said, your mom. And there was a look of shock and awe in their eye. They're like, they couldn't believe they weren't the center of my universe. But I taught them in that moment that, like, the unity here, you know, we were together before you came into our world, and we're going to be together after you leave the nest. So open car doors. So, you know, wisdom, words of encouragement, love, you know, help your wife, you know, be that man that you want your son to become, that husband you want your son to become, and just be that man that you want your daughter to marry one day. That's all I got. I'm out.
Very good. Incredible. Well, I just want to say one thing, and then we'll wrap it up. But just in regards to resourcing yourself, men, another plug for Emerge. I mean, I got to have dinner with Paul Cole and Paul Carmen, the guys that are going to be speaking, and I'm telling you, the stuff that they're going to talk about in Emerge will blow your mind and will accelerate your ability to become a man, to be a man. And so make sure that you do that. And, you know, Charles is a testament to that as well. And Mike Clark and Eric, I mean, it is a place to resource yourself if you're a man. So anyways, why don't we give these great couples a hand? Thank them for what they've poured into us today. Thank you, guys. Great stuff. Incredible, incredible, man. Amazing, amazing. You can be seated just for a moment. We're almost done. But I think, like, what they said with, you know, having a Christ-centered family is really the foundation for life. And the way the modern family looks should actually be the way the traditional family looked. And that is with traditional values and morals and the Word of God. And the world is trying to tear us apart from from the traditional family, but really the modern family should become the traditional family, and which is Christ-centered. And so I want to give you an opportunity today, if you've never met Jesus, or maybe you've never invited him into your life, if you could just, everyone just close your eyes and bow your heads. The first step to becoming a Christ-centered family is to invite Christ into your life. And so if that's you today and you've never maybe invited Jesus into your life, but today you're saying, man, I want to be able to kind of discern like those couples discerned, or think like they thought, or go to the Word of God and understand what I'm reading so that I can be a better person, not just parent, but person. The Bible is a manual. The Word of God is a manual for life. So if that's you and you've never invited Jesus into your life, maybe you're not following God right now, I'd love to be able to pray with you. So right in your seat where everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, can you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Just right where you are. Is there anybody like that? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand back there. God bless you back there on my left. I see that hand. God bless you over here to my left. God bless you. God bless you. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. God bless you right here, ma'am. I see that hand in the white coat. Is there anybody else? Incredible. Incredible. Well, with everybody's eyes closed and head bowed, I'd just love to lead you in a prayer. The whole building is going to repeat this prayer, but especially those of you that raised your hand, if you could repeat this prayer out loud, you're going to find Jesus coming into your life and everything's going to become different. So just say this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today, I invite you into my life. And I ask that you would help me live a life that glorifies you. Today I declare that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. For those of you that raised your hand for the first time, so proud of all of you. And we don't want to take that decision lightly. We have a response lounge right over here that's lit up, and James waving his hand over there. Would you go see him on your way out? You can bring your family members or your friends with you. We just want to give you a Bible and a little book just to help you on your journey in following Jesus, because it is the most important relationship that you can be introduced to in this Relationomics series. So we want you to be introduced to Jesus today. So God bless you. Tonight, everybody say tonight. At our 5 p.m. service, we have Morgan Irvin, who will be preaching. If you don't know who Morgan is, he plays Jesus in our hero production. But he hasn't always lived a life like Jesus lived, neither have any of us. But he has gone through the ringer. I mean, if he has struggled with all kinds of things. His testimony is extraordinary. I'm talking about addictions, suicidal things happening in his family, generational curses, sexuality issues, you name it, he's gone through it, but God has done a miraculous work in his life. So if you know somebody, bring somebody back tonight that's struggling, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a powerful service. There's going to be ministry tonight, so bring somebody back. But right now, as the band sings a song, as we close this service, if something that one of these great couples said this morning kind of struck a chord with you, and maybe you need to forgive yourself for some of the mistakes you've made as parents or even as children, would you come up and let them pray for you? They're going to come back up to the front. We're going to have a time of ministry here to this morning as well. So God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 5 p.m. If you need ministry, come on down and see us.